Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. Brockman here at our studios in beautiful Los Angeles. Adam, TJ also here. What up, fellas?
What's going on?
What up, man? Welcome back.
Yeah. Great to be back with you in person.
How was your vacation?
Out last week.
How was Ibiza?
Yeah.
Ibiza.
It was everything Ibiza. You thought it was. Let's put it that way. Hey, we are locked and loaded here. Conference finals have begun. Game one last night in Miami. Boston and Miami battled it out. Golden State and Dallas tonight, Wednesday. Hopefully you listen to this on Wednesday. If not, you'll already know what happens by the time you listen to this. But what do you guys want to talk about first? We'll give you dealer's choice. You want to preview tonight or you want to talk about last night?
Let's recap.
A recap?
Yeah, we could recap, sure.
Just because it's going to make you uncomfortable the first few minutes, so, you know.
Yeah, you guys can start and I can chime in later. Or do you want me to just let a rip on how I felt last night?
Let her rip,
I tell you what, I was very, not to interrupt, Adam, I was very impressed. Brockman was like so enthusiastic on the phone last week that I'm like, maybe you should continue to do it because you seem to be, that was your best episode last week is all I'm going to say.
Well, I was super hype last week. That was before game six?
I think it was five or six,
remember. Yeah.
It was before game six because I thought we were going to close it out. I'm trying to remember what happened. I've already forgotten about the Milwaukee series.
So well, because you put it to bed, you moved on.
Well, I definitely moved on, but like the Grant Williams game, that was insane. You know, they're just like begging him to shoot. What did he attempt? 18 3-pointers? Like, that is insane for a guy like him who'd never shot more than, I think, 9 in a single game. But anyway, let's just talk about Eastern Conference Finals. Game one, Miami, Boston. Look, you know, it comes out the news before that suddenly Marcus Smart is dealing with a foot injury. Okay, that happened late in the game. Don't remember that. He took a weird fall, but I guess that's when it happened. And then you're like, well, he's probably going to be out. Like, oh, shoot, man. I know Marcus Smart's going to be out. That's a bummer. You know, Derek White has played well, kind of in his place. Can't really shoot as well as Marcus. Can't really shoot as well as me. And then suddenly, like 2 hours before game time, Al Horford's out. Health and safety protocols. You're like, what? You know, there's a lot of rumors that Al's probably not vaccinated. You're like, geez, come on, man. Like, seriously? And then, so you're kind of expecting to lose game one anyway just because you had a long, physical, grueling series against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You got to go on the road. Only one day of rest. Okay, we're down two starters. We're probably going to lose anyway, right? Then the first half happens. You know, these two defenses suddenly can't play defense. 62 points in the first half. 8-point lead. It was 13 at one point. And then now I'm like higher registering myself, you know, like, well, maybe we're going to steal game one.
Hey, Brockman, I hate to interrupt you, but you did text me last night. I have to tell the viewers that
what you did. I was going to bet the
Brockman,
sweep.
Brockman was in a state of delirium at one point towards the end of the second quarter. He texted me and I quote, we're sweeping them. and then I responded by saying, I said, Celtics are more talented, but no way that happens. He goes, how do they score? How do they score? And I wrote Butler and Hero, and he goes, they're going to score 80.
No. And you know what the funny thing is? That should have been a question mark. I was actually being like, are Butler and Hero going to combine for 80? That's the only way they win because no one else in their team.
I thought you meant
really
the whole team was going to score
80. I know. I was doing like 8 different things at once. It was like bedtime. I was doing the dishes, and I was texting you. But when it was 18-11 in the first quarter, I said to Sarah, we're going to sweep them.
Yeah, you were so confident.
I was like so hype in the first half. And then, you know, then it's like shower time and I'm trying to like get Cage to brush his teeth. And then we still haven't scored in the third quarter. I'm like, what is going on right now? And at one point it was 18-2 and then it ended up being a 22-2 run to start the third quarter. And I was like, okay, well, you know, we were kind of like riding high on adrenaline and just kind of shot their wad in the first half. And then second half, you know, the fatigue kind of sets in. The moment kind of sets in. Suddenly shots aren't falling. Tatum had a great first half, 21 in the first half, and they just couldn't get anything going. Miami just imposed their will on Boston. Boston forgot how to dribble. They couldn't even get the ball over half court. Steal after steal, turnover, 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 missed shot. You know, and they just kind of got away from him. And then the home crowd suddenly gets into it because they're actually there on time.
They still weren't on time, but
it was just a weird
39-14 in that third quarter.
Yeah,
man,
that is just awful. You know, Boston wins 3 out of the 4 quarters, outplays them for 3 of the 4 quarters, mm-hmm. and they lose the game by 11, just because the third quarter was that bad. I expect that's the worst Boston will play. Hopefully, this whole series. You know, you got to get it out of your system. Marcus Smart looks like he'll be back in game 2. Horford probably not. Marcus Smart obviously more important than Al Horford.
In this series, yeah.
In this series with Robert Williams back. Hopefully he's okay. Kind of looked like he rolled his ankle at the end there. Daniel Tice is going to get more minutes.
Also, Chris, look, I mean,
like I said, you don't expect to win game 1 in that situation anyway. Like I said on the big show, they played really poorly game 1 against Milwaukee, lost. Played really poorly in game 1 against Brooklyn, was lucky to win at the buzzer. And so, you know, this is kind of par for the course. I expect them to bounce back and win game 2.
Yeah, statistically speaking, you were going to lose that game on the road.
Yeah, of course.
They had a week off. You had a grueling 7-game series. You're missing 2 starters.
Absolutely. There's,
to be honest, I mean, you're right. You take away that third quarter.
Now win the game.
You win the game. And so, yeah, if I'm Boston, I'm not like, yeah, that sucked, you lost. But I'm not like down on anything because you should not have technically won that game anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of positives to take away. You know, Tatum had a really strong first half. It's just kind of like bottle that up. Peyton Pritchard is suddenly playing with insane confidence.
When did Peyton Pritchard turn into like the love child of like Tim Legler and Scott Skiles, like all of a sudden? Like, what is
he's a short white guy who can shoot. Of course he's gonna be their love
doing?
Child.
What's in the middle of the game at one point I was like, who the F is Peyton Pritchard? Like, what's going on here?
Pac 12 player of the year, Peyton Pritchard.
He looks like the ultimate coach's son with that haircut. Right? Oh my and gosh. The fundamentals, his, the shooting, you know what
no,
I mean?
You guys keep
he
talking.
Looks like Ollie from Hoosiers.
I'm gonna see if his dad was a coach because it would make so
had
much sense.
Been.
Let's see.
Yeah, he's playing with a confidence, and he's shooting deep threes, too, you know. But he's got to do it. We need 15 minutes out of him. We need a couple of buckets. So, you know, I'm trying not to be too overreactionary and freak out about game 1. Like I said, don't really expect to win that anyway, and then you have 2 starters out. So, you know, to play as well as they did and have a lead, a 13-point lead at one point, and to lose, it's kind of like, you know, we'll see. Just don't get blown out in game 2. You know, Miami's supposed to hold home court, obviously, but I don't know. What did you guys think watching the game?
And real quick, I checked. By the way, Peyton Pritchard won 4 consecutive state titles in Oregon, and his dad was a football player. He played at Oklahoma, so he wasn't a coach.
There you go.
But he came from
by
an
the way,
athletic
also
player.
Short. Peyton Pritchard's like 6'2".
Dude, he was probably just shooting like half court shots in high school, just like, oh my god, this guy's the great white next great white hype over here from Oregon.
Averaged 24-7 as a senior.
I mean, he's getting serious running at Eastern Conference Finals. He's done really well for himself. But you know, Adam, what did you think watching last night?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked to begin with how well the Celtics played in the first half. I thought the Heat were going to win that game from the start. At halftime, I was like, damn, I'm happy I didn't actually put money on the Heat because it was a great, great effort from the Celtics. I thought Tyler Hero was big in the first half, just keeping the Heat in there in striking distance. He made a few clutch shots just to keep them in there. And then Butler was just an absolute star last night. And I think we underrate how good Jimmy Butler is, especially every time in the playoffs. Like, I think he kind of coasts in the regular season, but come, you know, Eastern Conference Finals time, this guy's a star. And as much as Tatum was sensational last night and has been, Butler scored over 40 points and was a lockdown defender. So if he's going to play like that the entire series, it's going to be very hard for the Celtics to win because he was in the zone, and he's the number one guy in a championship level team right now. Butler was incredible.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody else last night about this. Like, what? He's such a weird, it seems like he's a weird guy kind of to begin with, but like, it's a weird player in a sense that he's like maybe the quietest superstar. Like, nobody talks about it. You know, it's like, the whole playoffs it's been, is Jason Tatum making the leap? Is he a top 5? Is he top 10? Is he past Kevin Durant? Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler, just like another ho-hum 40-point night and a big playoff win, took over 17 of 18 from the free throw line last night. Like, Why don't we, TJ, you watched him play, you know, a year in Philadelphia. Why don't we talk about Jimmy Butler as this superstar top 10 guy?
I don't know, man. And that's a great question, dude, because Jimmy Butler, I mean, he went to work yesterday.
Last night, to work.
I don't know what it is about Jimmy Butler. I don't know why he doesn't get those type of props. I guess only the only thing that helps you get those type of props, obviously, is winning, right? And he got to the championship. It was in the bubble. You were kind of iffy on bubble and, you know, like 2020 titles. But the fact is everyone played under the same set of circumstances, right? So,
you know. 4 months off.
Yeah, everyone, you know, we all had to deal with the same thing and you still won a title or you still got to the championship game. So I don't know. I don't know if it was because, you know, Jimmy Butler wasn't like this high school phenom. And I don't know if it's because Jimmy Butler wasn't like a college superstar.
He went to Marquette. Oh, really?
Yeah. Second round pick. The Bulls drafted him in the second round from Marquette.
Yeah. So I honestly don't know why he isn't looked at like that. But let me tell you something. He has a couple more games like he had last night, and he's going to have to be listed amongst those guys. Look, Big Face Coffee stock is rising, fellas. And
I found this interesting stat online. So the only guys in Miami Heat history who have scored 40 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in a game are Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade. And Butler has 3 of those games. LeBron and Dwayne Wade only have 2. So Butler has 3 45 and 5 playoff games in Heat history. Wow. So he steps up when it matters.
He definitely does.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just a thing where, you know, maybe is it because he plays in Miami? Is it because
Well, he didn't always play in Miami, though.
I know, but just in the last couple of years, though. And, like, Miami fans are kind of annoying. I say that as a New England fan. Like, I don't know. What is it about this guy? Is it because he's been on 4 teams now? Like, he kind of gets himself out of the situation the way the Minnesota thing went down.
I think it's what I said, man. It's like he doesn't have this background that has put him in our mind his entire life. Like I said, he wasn't like a... I'm sure he was probably averaged 32 points a game in high school because pretty much everyone, if you're in the NBA, you had to average at least 25 or so, right? So I just think he didn't go to a big school. He wasn't a high draft pick. You know, he's never won MVP. And his teams, you know, have been moderately successful. But again, I don't know why, but it's time for it to stop, whatever it is, because Jimmy Butler is, man, Jimmy Butler's the man right now, guys.
Jimmy Butler, it's just crazy. I mean, he's super consistent. I mean,
and he's a dog.
Didn't do much his first couple years, but after that,
most importantly,
13, you know. 20, 21, 24, 23, 19, 20. Like, he just kind of ho hums at 20 and 8 and 5 kind of every single game. And then in the playoffs come, that switch flips and it's just like playoff Butler mode.
Well, maybe that's part of the reason he's underappreciated is because his regular season numbers are good, but they're not sensational necessarily. He's not like a 30-point-a-game scorer.
Right.
And people kind of don't look at the fact that he's such a great defensive player. Mm. But his stats obviously increase in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's a 20-point-per-game career playoff scorer, so.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just this year he's kind of taking it to another level. But it's, you know, it's something to watch. And now the Heat are in a position to make it to another finals.
Can we talk about the fact that you mentioned this earlier this morning, that Duncan Robinson has a $90 million contract? He's getting paid $18 million a year. Right. And he's not even playing anymore. That is absurd how deep the Heat are slash
Max Strus is taking all his minutes.
And is it absurd how deep the Heat are, or is it absurd that like these contracts that these players get are so absurd?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, he balled out in the 2020 finals, and he's a guy that fits modern day NBA with shooting. You need a 3-point shooter like that to open the floor, to space the floor. But the fact that he's just completely out of the lineup is pretty interesting, the fact that Oladipo and Strus have essentially just taken his minutes and Vincent.
So it gets back to some of the money that gets tossed around is a little ridiculous. Come on, $90 million? Duncan Robinson?
I mean, he earned it.
I mean, did he?
He was lights out. Suddenly he was just making it rain from all over the place.
And I don't want to, you know what? I don't want to like knock Duncan, because when we went to the Heat Celtics game a few years ago in 2020, when we were in Miami for the Super Bowl. Yeah. I was probably leading the Duncan Robinson chants, as you know, sitting there.
Celtics
so yeah, so I don't want to knock him for that, but you know, it's crazy. That team is so deep, and this Strus kid, man.
Yeah, Strus is kind of, you know, has been taken over by Larry Bird. He's got a quick, fast, high jumper. He's playing really well. Oladipo is giving them great minutes. Caleb Martin is giving them great minutes. You know, I guess I don't watch enough Heat basketball to really like, well, they're doing X, Y, and Z, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they play hard. There's a different energy. And kind of Butler, it's like a weird kind of like silent, demanding. You just want to play for that guy.
Oh, I don't think it's silent, Chris.
It's definitely not silent. But you're like afraid that he's just going to bitch you out and like scream at you. You know, that shouting match on the sideline with Spo and
the whole team, essentially.
And UD was there. And like since that moment, they're 15-6.
We thought they were going to implode.
I said the opposite. I said I thought it was actually.
Yeah,
good
I
for
thought
them.
It was gonna. They were gonna unravel. The Celtics became the one seed, I think, for like 2 days, and was like, "Let's go, here we go." No, man, 15 out of 21 since then, and they're just on fire.
Yeah, I'm not comparing Jimmy Butler to Michael Jordan at all, but in terms
obviously,
what you guys were saying before, in terms of how he can create fear among his teammates if they're not living up to his expectations. And he's a total leader, and some people do lead by fear, and I think he might be one of those guys.
Yeah, fear, just attitude, you know, aggression. And
also, if you're someone who's going to put it out there every night on the line and you're going to yell at someone else, then, you know, it's like you can't get mad because he's showing up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, man, whatever he's doing, keep it up, Jimmy, because it's fun to watch. Not fun for Chris to watch.
Not
but
fun for me to watch.
It's fun to watch.
After watching game one, guys, before we move on to Dallas and Golden State, how do you see this series playing out after seeing game one, Adam?
This is so difficult. I mean, I think it's going to go seven games. I think the Celtics have probably more talent. I think a lot of it depends on when Horford can come back and when Marcus Smart can come back. If I had to put money on it right now, I still think the Celtics will win the series.
In seven?
Yeah, but I think it's going to be very close, though. They're very equal in terms of talent levels. I think slightly I give the edge to the Celtics.
When did Jaylen Brown, like, forget how to shoot free throws? What is going on? I mean, at one point when they got it down to seven, the Celtics had missed 8 free throws. It is just for pro basketball players to miss those freebies, I just think is so unacceptable. TJ, after watching game one, how do you see this playing out?
You know, I was predicting that this was going to be a 7-game series from the get-go. So, again, if I'm a Celtics fan, like I said earlier, I'm not too worried. Yeah. I'm not too down about last game. You just got to make sure you get this split, okay, because you don't want to go home down 0-2 because that could potentially be the end of this. But as long as Boston, you know, again, you played pretty well, except for a 12-minute stretch. Now, that 12 minutes was just god-awful. But, you know, you've proven that you can hang in there with them and you can play with these guys. So, yeah, just get the win in game two, go back home tied at one, and then we'll take it from there. You know, but like I said, I'm thinking this is going to go seven because I can't really say that one team is significantly better than the other right now.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Especially when you get to this point, you've earned it. You know,
it feels like this is gonna be one of those series where there's someone's not gonna win two games in a row, which makes losing game one kind of tough. Like, it just feels like it's gonna go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then game seven, who knows? I kind of think it's trending towards seven as well. I'll stick with Boston. All right, game one, Wednesday night.
Oh, but one real quick thing, a play I want to bring up, Daniel Theis.
Yeah,
that block he had on Deadman's dunk.
By the way,
yesterday,
that was like Bam on Tatum in the bubble.
Yeah, but except this one was like a little bit more impressive because I just thought, when he caught
it's
the ball, goes
posterized.
You're like, and then he goes up and just blocks it. And I was like, wow, okay.
There were
props
a few nice
that.
Blocks. Aaron Nesmith, who never plays anymore, suddenly,
he had
a sick block from behind.
Didn't he have two? And well, one was a foul, I think, got called.
Butler blocked Tatum on the three late. That was nice. There was some defense. I mean, there were a lot of points scored. There were 225 or something last night. But there was also some D being played, too.
Yep.
It's going to be a fun series. All right. Game one, Golden State, Dallas in the Bay tonight. kind of had some fun with this on the big show, this picture going around Twitter. Seems like it's from yesterday. I mean, it might be years old for all we know, but it's but it's Luka and Boban, an assistant coach, at an outdoor cafe, and Luka's just slamming a pint of beer. Like, this guy is amazing.
Oh, what a legend.
Like,
what a legend.
I thought I couldn't love Luka anymore. You know, we were talking about this earlier, like your favorite players not on your favorite team, players that you love the most. Giannis and Luka are just like 1 and 1A for me right now, my favorite non-Celtics. Like, 23 years old, off season, all he does is hang out with models and smoke hookah and hang out on yachts and like what he shows up not in shape, just kind of like, whatever, it's cool, I'm European. And now playoff games, drinking beer at 11 a.m. or whatever what time it was. It could have been nighttime, however we know. But this guy's just awesome. Yeah. How can you not like Luka?
Yeah, but my thing is, with this picture, we don't, honestly, we don't, just because
we don't know anything about
this picture could have been last year.
Years old.
Yeah, so we can't even argue when this picture was.
What I'm reading, and obviously Twitter is not the best source for information, but people are saying that the picture was taken yesterday, actually.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely wouldn't say
so. They're up in the bay. Boban and his giant hands. He's probably eating soup and just having the greatest conversation ever. And Luka's like, cool, bro. Hey, one more. Cool. His glasses are on top of his head. Like it's like an 80s L.A. law or something, you know?
Oh, he's becoming Michael Jordan.
He's incredible.
Drinking beers, you know, casually. Like next thing you know, Luka's going to be smoking cigars before the game.
You love Luka more than anybody. Like, this guy's awesome.
I've been such a huge fan of his since I saw his clips playing in Europe when he was a 17-year-old superstar phenom winning MVP against guys who are 30 years old.
Yeah.
Like, this guy has just been incredible from such a young age. I cannot wait for this series. You have the two players that I love to watch more than anybody in the NBA playing each other, and Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. This is must-see TV. The ratings are going to be off the charts for this. It's going to be a fun series. I think, obviously, either team could win. I'm going with the Warriors right now if I had to put money on it.
Just because they have home court?
Yeah, I just think they have more home. They have the home court, but I think they have more experience also. I think the Draymond factor, I don't think he can stop Luka at all, but I think he can make it annoying for Luka when he guards him. And Klay is not the defender he used to be, but I still think he could cause some issues with Luka. I think Luka's still going to go off though. You can't really stop him. This guy is the next. It's really just going to be, I really believe him and Giannis on a whole level. Excuse me, on a whole other level, and then it's going to be like Tatum and like maybe like Booker's like a step below them, but I think it's going to be Giannis and Luka as the next, you know, guys taking over the NBA. So I just can't wait for this series to start.
Yeah, TJ, it's going to be a fun series.
I mean, let's just put it this way: Luka's going to get his, like we know, he's going to get his 28, he's going to get his 10, he's going to get his 6, 28, 30 a game. What Golden State can't do is you can't let Spencer Dinwiddie get 30. You can't let Jalen Brunson get 30. You can't let, you know, so that's the thing, because Luka's going to get his, and we know that. They've just got to slow down these other guys, because talent-wise, Dallas should not be on the same level with Golden State. But if Dallas wins this series, I don't know if anyone here is going to be. Look, I thought Dallas was going to lose in the first round.
Yeah, right. I did too, to Utah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. And that was more, absolutely, I would say that's more of a knock on Utah than it is me saying anything about Dallas. Because you look at Utah, like, this team should be like,
right.
And for every reason, they can't put it together.
And
so,
when you think about Dallas, it's like, oh, it's Luka and then all these other guys. And then, you know, they got one guy, he's going to, but they're, you know, they can't win a series.
And yet, here we are. So, you know, Luka's balling. And, you know, the thing on one of the ESPN shows yesterday, and it had JJ and Pat Beverly, OG Pat Bev on there, it was who would, and I don't want to get it wrong, but it was essentially, who would you trust more in clutch time, either Luka or Steph? And I think the obvious answer is Steph Curry, just because he can shoot from anywhere. And JJ was arguing that it's Luka because you have to do so much more to get Steph a shot. But I think that was one of the few times that JJ has misspoken, because Steph can get, obviously, create his own shot. He can, there's really nothing on the court the man can't do. So it's just going to be fun. But if we get to see game 6 Klay, like we saw the last time the Warriors took the court, if game 6 Klay is here, this might not be as close as we are thinking it could be.
Yeah, I guess I kind of, in a weird way, I just want more basketball. I, you know, there's only There's only three series left.
Yeah.
And that's kind of depressing when you think about it. When you look at the calendar, you're like, oh, it's
almost over. Yeah.
It's almost, yeah. We got about a month left.
A lot of boring days in the summer now.
Yeah. And so,
well, it's only boring when your baseball team isn't good, Adam. And as a Met fan, I don't have that problem. But continue. I digress.
Yeah, listen, White Sox can be good this year. So.
So I guess in that sense, I'm just rooting for 7-game series here on both sides.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But I mean, I think I really think that both series can go seven. I mean, why can't Dallas keep doing it? I guess a lot of it depends on, like you said, does Brunson stay 20 a game? Does Finney Smith and Dinwiddie, are they shooting 40% from three still? Are they getting, you know, great minutes? Is Luka still playing out of his mind? And on the Warriors side, like, what are you getting from Wiggins? Is Looney going to get minutes in this series? Or do they go small to try to match up with Dallas in that regard? Who guards Luka? Does Jordan Poole stay hot? You know, we're waiting for that quintessential Steph game. We got it last round from Clay. There's just so many questions and so many great storylines from both of these series. I'm super psyched. I'm just like out of this mind for this game.
And that's a good question. Like, I think, Adam, you brought up Draymond on Luka. I think maybe you did, or maybe I misheard that. Yeah. But yeah, you know,
Wiggins, can he guard Luka?
No one's going to stop him, but the Warriors do have a lot of bodies that they can throw at Luka, and so that's going to be something. Because one thing I say, and you guys are big on this, Luka could be top 10 player and this, that, and the third. But my thing is, the one thing missing from Luka's game is he's not a defender. He doesn't play defense. And Brockman's like, yeah, but he's only 23. And my argument with that is, how many players have all of a sudden just became great defenders? I don't think that that's something that, you know, you can work on your shot. And obviously you can work on anything, but I just don't see a guy who wasn't a great defender all of a sudden blossoming into a great defender. So that's my only thing that would keep him out of like being the all, like everyone's putting him on the all-time greatest list. But this dude balls out. He's fun to watch. And let me tell you something. I'll give you an example of something real quick. Back when I was in college, I used to just destroy people on Sega video games. I was super nice with NHL hockey, like Sega
NHL
hockey.
NHL 94?
Dude, I was the man. Like that swingers thing, you know, where they're playing.
Make Wayne Gretzky's head bleed.
You know, yeah. I was so good at that. And I was also good at a bunch of baseball games, right? Well, and you know me, I talked a lot of trash. There was a Canadian guy that played on my baseball team. And one day we played Roger Clemens baseball. And this kid must have beat me like 19-0. He destroyed me. And do you know what bothered me the most out of losing this game?
What?
He didn't say a word to me, man.
He didn't talk trash.
Like a robot. He was just like a nice Canadian kid. And he wouldn't. And I was so infuriated by the fact that he wouldn't even like talk trash. And I don't know why. But so I just wanted to throw that story out there to lead me to this. Luka drilling jumpers in your face and running back laughing, like that's got to bug you. And to me, I told you guys, I think a lot of that or a little bit of that was when Ayton got switched up on Luka, which happened a lot, especially in the last game. How's your 7-1 center going to defend this guy? He can't, not in the perimeter. But it seemed like Luka took, you know, like a lot of joy in going, you were the first pick that year, weren't you? And I was three? Let me show you why I should have been one. Bat smiling in his face. He did it like four times. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, the sky's really the limit for this kid, man.
I cannot wait for Draymond and Luka to talk trash to each other. Oh, because you know that's going to happen the entire series.
It's
going to
happen,
there's
Adam.
There's probably going to be a fight that they have to break up.
There's going to be skirmishes.
It's going to be awesome. Because I love Draymond so much because he's an old school player. Like John Sally was saying on the big show, you know, he's a guy that could have played on the Bad Boy Pistons.
Oh, totally.
And so I think he sees his chance. He sees a young up-and-coming superstar where he's like, okay, I'm going to mess with this dude and try to get into his head. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to watch to see that matchup in particular.
Yeah. And getting back to what I was saying earlier, guys, the Warriors do. They got a lot of bodies that they can put on Luka. You know, Otto Porter's going to have to get some run.
A lot of fouls.
And by the way,
what's up with Iguodala? Is he coming
back?
Bro,
I was just about to ask you guys that. Do we know what the deal is with him?
I'm not sure. Let me Google it.
But this is going to be fun, man. It's going to be high scoring. It's going to be fun.
I think so, too.
You know, oh man, I'm also, just like, really stuff, smiling at the thought of this.
Yeah, but
know?
Like, and the smile and the Luca grinning, that's like serial killer stuff, man. That's right? Like, yeah. I'm going to kill you and then just
smile at you. And then I'm going to talk trash. But when I talk trash, it's going to be trash, but it's going to be nice. Like, you cannot stop that.
Yeah.
You cannot stop me.
I got my cool Slovenian accent, and I'm going to use a bunch of weird language you don't understand, but I'm really nasty.
Yeah, yo.
Yeah, he had a psychotic look in his eyes.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was awesome. Notice like his hair is perfect too.
Oh yeah, great head of hair.
And guys, by the way,
and he's got that big like tiger tattoo on his shoulder.
He looks like a soccer player.
It's just amazing.
He's amazing,
guys. It's amazing how quickly things can turn around too. Because remember, after game two of the last series against the Suns, I posted that thing where there was a shot of Luka on the bench,
0-2.
And I'm playing that song, "Hello Darkness, My Old Friend," and I was like, "What's Luka thinking right now? He's thinking, I can't wait to get out of here, blah blah blah." And all of a sudden, they're four games away from the championship, man. So, man, I said, I'm a basketball junkie, and I'm not ever going to give you like an analytical breakdown. That's not what this show is about. But I cannot wait for this, man. This
All
is
right,
going to be so much
let's
fun.
Let's get out of here on this. Let's predict Warriors, Mavs. Adam, what do you got?
I got the Warriors winning the series in six games. I think they'll win 4-2. Good series from the Mavs. I just don't think that they have enough talent to beat the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to win this.
All right, so you got Celtics in seven, and you got Warriors in six. Okay, yeah. TJ?
I got Heat in seven, and I agree with Adam. I got the Warriors in... Well, you know what? I said Heat in seven. Can I hold off? Because I'm still not sure.
No, you can't. We're predicting now, and then we'll check back next week.
Oh, man. Well, if you're going to ask me today, the 18th at 1:30 with 28 seconds, then I'm going to say Heat in seven because I think you might be right, Chris. It could be like every other game situation.
Right.
So,
that's what I think. You say Warriors?
Like I said, I'm with Adam on this, Warriors in six, but it's going to be a hell of a good series, man.
I really want to pick the Mavs, like really, really bad. I just think... It's kind of like in hockey where you just have a hot goalie and you ride this hot goalie all the way to the cup.
Well, do it, man, because if you're right, then you look like a genius. If you're wrong, no. I'm just going to trash talk you for like maybe 3 weeks, but that's not really that bad in the big scheme.
I'm going to say Celtics in six, and I'm going to say Mavs in seven.
All right.
Okay.
Mavs in seven. All right, boys, enjoy the games tonight. We'll be talking about it for sure.
Before we go.
Follow us all on social media, too, by the way, at 2Jiggy. Yeah. At A. Chudwin. Let's get Adam's numbers up.
Yeah, let's step it up, guys. Come on.
You know what you need to do is you need to put a little thing in front of your, you know, desk okay. for the
guys,
podcast.
I'm here to tell you guys something, not to dissuade you, Adam, but I've been on this show every day for like 2 years. My numbers have not gone up at
all.
Well,
you don't advertise. You gotta advertise.
Yeah,
and because guys, also leave some comments in the on the videos. Leave some comments for us.
Yeah,
we want some interaction.
We will interact with you. Yeah. TJ has nothing to do all day. He will read and respond to your comments. I will respond on Twitter if you want to hit me up at Chris Brockman when I'm not chasing my son around the house. And Adam, I don't know what you do all day, so you can
He sleeps a lot.
It.
But yeah, one thing we can't leave without, because you weren't here and we always do this here, winning time, man. Now that that's over, I was very bummed Sunday night. Guys, I didn't know what to do with my Sunday night. I had to rewatch. I literally went back and rewatched two episodes because I was like, man, it's over. But I guess the great thing is, I think we're getting a season two, maybe? Is that the word?
Yeah. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Yeah, already guaranteed. Been renewed. They're locked and loaded. I'm just wondering, like, so we did the whole first season. Obviously, it ends on the, you know,
dramatic championship
game. They win, spoiler alert, they win the title in 1980. I'm wondering if they kind of jam-pack a couple of seasons together so we get to Pat Riley being the head coach.
Yeah, because there's no reason to go over 80. Well, there might be, because obviously, you know, the big story that next year was it was Magic that got Westhead fired, right? That's what everybody says.
And Magic was injured.
I think that's something that should definitely, because I, from what I understand, as I got older, it was like the whole team wanted it. He just, because of his relationship with Dr. Buss, was the one, you know, he was the figurehead we're going to push forward and saying you're the one who has to do
it. But it
this.
Was a season after, right? Like Westhead went all of 81 and then early 82,
I believe. But whatever, whatever.
He's out,
So that'll be interesting to see. And
yeah, I'm wondering if they kind of like speed through that just so we can get more Adrian Bro. Not that, I mean, Jason Siegel's
been great.
Been
yeah.
Phenomenal as Paul Westhead. He was phenomenal. But just to get the Adrian Brody and the show, to really get Pat Riley and the Showtime.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with this. And, you know, we also have the Clippers saga with Donald Sterling, as we touched on the big show with Ed O'Neill playing Sterling. That's going to be a series coming, so when they get more basketball stuff. And
hopefully we'll see more of these types of shows. You know, when Spider Sally was in earlier the week, you know, we mentioned...
Oh, could you imagine, like we said, the Bad Boys
show, when B.J. Armstrong we mentioned a Bull show.
And B.J. like, was like, no thanks.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these guys don't want it after seeing how, you know, the criticism that the show took for... how they portrayed Jerry West, and I know a lot of people didn't like the Kareem character. I did, but
I don't really know how you could not like the Kareem character.
And poor, like I said last week, poor Jamal Wilkes. Like that Jamal Wilkes was amazing.
Yeah,
in
he
1980,
was a baller, bro.
37 in Game 6. Mm. Didn't talk about it one bit on the show.
Nah, he's just
the character,
a bit character
barely got any lines. You know, can we get some glory for Jamal Wilkes?
And also, like, on the just to end on this, you know, another thing, you know, guys, because I love wrestling so much, and something that's in this vein of a Winning Time is Young Rock. Part of Peacock on NBC. That's been renewed for a season 3. And as an old school wrestling fan, to kind of watch The Rock's life, because he grew up with all these wrestlers, I get a very Winning Time vibe from that, because you see all the wrestlers that we loved as kids. Like yesterday, it was basically Rock and Macho Man Randy Savage hanging out, and his mom and Miss Elizabeth hanging out, you know? And it was it's really cool when you get to see like these guys playing these characters. Like last week on Young Rock was a battle royal, and literally everyone that you could think of was in it. So I put those with Winning Time. It's just like, you know, great shows that you get to kind of revisit our childhood and our youth and seeing these people that we looked up to and watched as kids. So, like I said, it's not basketball related, but I just want to throw that in there as something that gives me that vibe.
Well, if you guys watched Mad Men, nostalgia is a powerful drug.
It sure is, man.
It's really fun. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening this week. For Adam and TJ, I'm Chris. Enjoy the games. We will see you next Wednesday. Peace out.
Later.